I forgot that you were coming today. I would have asked you to bring
Taboo.
Yep.
Yeah, I still have it.
Taboo the porn?
No.
Because this is a good series, guys.
I do remember that porn.
It's good. It has a good soundtrack as well.
You don't remember Taboo?
Hey, welcome to the film podcast.
Yes.
Greetings, salutations. What's going on? As always, I'm Ricardo.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Adam Scott.
And today we have the unfortunate pleasure
you
of having.
You promised you wouldn't do that this time.
I know. When, all right. I'm gonna try to be really kind. Try. We have Brian Peril.
Wow. You don't sound very excited about
I'm
that.
I'm so excited.
I mean, you combed your hair all nice and pretty. I thought that was just for Brian.
No. That just ran going
pick,
bald and
ran a
trying
pick
to
through
come
it.
Over. No, we have Brian Peril.
Good day.
Yeah. From where?
ShootingTheScript.com.
Yeah. You and Adam are partners.
We're partners in crime.
I don't know why you're laughing at that.
I just find it funny. All right. So let's get to it, guys. What's going on? The world. No, not the world. Let's not talk about
it. I don't want to talk about what's going on.
It's a dark place.
Wait, can we talk about what's going on in Brian's world?
No, we can't.
No.
We can't. We took it off air. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about.
I was talking about his end of year list. That
oh.
Just came up now
yeah.
that it's April.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess we could talk about it. You have a. What do you have? I didn't check your Twitter. What do you have going on today?
It's going to be up for a few weeks by the time this goes, right?
Yeah, this will be up next week.
I finally finished wrapping up 2012, all the awards, top tens, everything.
Just in time for the new era? What took you so long, dude?
I'm busy. Busy man.
All what right. do you mean what took him? He's a completist. All
right.
So every year, it's April when his list is done. Wow. He's got to be done.
Well, I feel
not
like
done.
Essentially. Done.
Like no one's really kind of looking for lists like that late into the year. Like, hey, what's Brian doing? Like, it's fucking.
There's no
April.
Rule. There's no rule that says it has to be done
no,
in December.
No. That's true, but I mean, it helps.
He's hoping to catch the latecomers.
Yeah. The people who are like, whoa, I just woke up. I was cried to lunch.
Well, now
I was frozen in time.
Now all the recommendations are on Netflix or Redbox or something. So you can actually watch them.
All right, movies that we've watched in theaters. What's going on? What did you guys watch?
I don't think I made it to anything. We're
you're
busy.
Working. You're working.
I'm
I
working.
I hear you.
Girlfriend's working. There's a lot going on.
You guys, you might have talked about it last week. I don't know. I saw The Place Beyond the Pines.
I saw that as well.
We just saw that this weekend.
Okay, so we all saw that.
Yeah, I loved it.
I didn't.
Not Adam.
Not Adam.
I didn't get a chance to.
Except this guy.
Yeah. I loved it. It's, I don't know what's going to, I mean, I know what could beat it this year.
It's April, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, I loved it. I don't have complaints.
No complaints?
Not at all.
Kevin?
I don't.
I didn't have any, I didn't like quite love it. I liked it. I thought it was great. I liked it a lot.
I think I'm with you.
But I can't like really put my finger on anything that I would be like, oh, this is wrong with it. That's what's wrong with it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And
no, me too. Yeah.
Derek is a huge fan of Godfather 1 and 2.
Yeah. I think that's what I liked about it, that it was
Wait,
so
who isn't a huge fan of Godfather
True.
1 and 2.
But I mean, he's heavily influenced.
He's
then.
Very heavily influenced by it.
I loved it. It was, that's what I liked about it, that it was so, it felt like reading a novel. And
well, I didn't know. I avoided reading stuff. So the places it goes, the third act specifically.
I didn't know any of that.
I didn't. Hey. I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay. I'm not spoiling.
I'm just making sure.
No.
I'm like, I'm still here. Even though I'm looking away and pouring myself a drink, I am still in the room.
Yeah.
No, but
the spirit is still looking at you.
I think the first part is easily the best. I mean, Ryan Gosling continues to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think some of the stuff in the second is good, but it's really almost there to get you to the third part. Like it's like, okay, we got to get to the third somehow. Here's the little in between stuff. And then my other complaint is just the not Dane DeHaan actor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was that great.
I thought he was really great. I know.
See, I think it's really just his character that you're not liking.
Well, I think it's a combo of not believing that that's how that person would become on top of the actor. Like, I sort of was like, really? That's how they turned out?
I just want to say you're doing a really good job of not spoiling because I am so confused and I have no idea what any of you are talking about. So good job. Well played.
So do you like it or not?
I liked a lot. It's just that, you know, if I was to pick a couple things that were like, okay, but the rest of it, there was so much unexpected things, the structure of it and the powerful tone of it that I enjoyed it despite those things.
All right.
So definitely recommend.
Yeah, go check it out. It's everywhere now, officially. Mm-hmm. It dropped. Anything else you guys saw in theaters?
No, right now I have an addiction to The West Wing, so most of my free time goes towards that.
Nice.
Adam? I'm on this weird Burt Reynolds kick right now.
Interesting.
You were talking about that.
What have you been watching?
Smokey and the Bandit, primarily.
Well, no, I've seen those.
Repeat?
In my
Smokey and the Bandit on repeat?
In my mind. I already loved Burt Reynolds because of Smokey and the Bandit and the Cannonball Run movies, so I know those movies very well. But, like, I realized that I hadn't seen, and this was inspired by an episode of Archer, I realized I hadn't seen a bunch of the early pre-Smokey and the Bandit, pre-Cannonball Run stuff. So I watched White Lightning and Gator. They were both very good. I watched Seamus, which I really liked. And that's it so far. I had to throw in a couple of horror movies also, just because I've been mm-hmm. jonesing for some good horror.
So I finally saw Martyrs.
How'd you like that?
You guys are fucked up. You guys are fucked up.
Did you see Inside?
Not yet.
He hasn't. No, because he fell asleep watching that.
Yeah.
What?
I was really heavily.
I haven't seen Martyrs, but this Adam over here got me to watch Inside. But you're not prepared.
Let me just. Yeah. No, I know. I know. I saw the beginning of it. I just fell asleep. I was really inebriated. All right. Anything else? Anything else? No? Anything else? Any movies on Netflix we should talk about?
Can I just go back to Martyrs for a second? So even though it was fucked up, you haven't stopped thinking about that movie, have you?
Oh, no, not yet. No. Exactly. Yeah. I'm still thinking about it right now.
You know what will make you think about that movie more?
What?
If you watch his follow-up to that movie.
What is it?
The Tall Man.
Was it good?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's how did you go from Martyrs to The Tall Man?
Oh, the one with Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He's like, hey, come be in my movie, guys, mm-hmm. and then I'll let you guys down.
Yep.
That sucks. All right. Well, let's get to it. Any Netflix streams recommendations?
Regular show.
That's a movie, not a cartoon.
It's a TV show.
I don't care.
Strike that. Reverse it.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon, not a movie.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's not a cartoon.
That's what I'm hooked on.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I don't care.
Yep.
Regular show.
All right.
Fuck you.
It's no Adventure Time.
I'm watching that as well.
All right. Let's get to it. We're talking about 90s action films, and I feel like Brian is not going to shut up, so let's move on. Again, 90s action movies. I'm ready for this. Are you ready for this?
You took it there?
Yeah. It's from the 90s, guys.
You put on some CNC Music Factory. Go with that.
It's weird. On Mortal the way Kombat. Here, I was listening to, I want to say, Jack FM, and they had the advertisement for that 90s concert special that they're having not at the Henry Ford, but at the other one.
Isn't that the Greek?
The Greek Theater, yeah, where it's like Sugar Ray
and the Jim
Blossoms and a bunch of other bands.
Chumbawamba?
Not Chumbawamba. They broke up.
Well, they mm-hmm. could get them together for the right amount of scratch. all right. Since Brian's the guest, I guess he could go first. I guess. Yes. I'll allow it. Brian.
That's very kind of you.
Brian, what do you have? Number 5.
Okay, well, no rhyme or reason. I just made sure to avoid the action films in other genres. So I wanted to just stick to the, you know, pure action. It's not sci-fi action. It's not action.
Well,
whatever.
There's no rules.
I know. That's what I'm saying, what I tried to do. Just like the first thing you think of is action. So
we really are partners. I did the same thing.
It's going to be a bit obvious. I'll save some of the other things for honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm. Get out of my head.
But number 5. 1991, Catherine Bigelow.
You fucker.
Point Break.
Nice.
Cool.
Okay. What the fuck, dude?
Is that your number 1?
That's my number 5.
Get out of my head.
Stop it.
So let's talk about it.
Stop following me. It's fucking Keanu Reeves.
It's Brody.
Is an FBI agent.
Aren't you going to name your next kid Brody?
Brody.
So yeah, this movie's awesome. I love it. It was on my list. I took it. I'm going to swap it out right now.
I knew somebody was going to have it on.
It's got everything that makes the early 90s special. It's got surfing. It's got extreme sport, skydiving, and bank robbery. And it mixes the two brilliantly.
And Lori Petty,
yes.
In her prime.
And that what was that, 3-year window?
Yeah, like, yeah.
It could have used a dusting of nudity, but it you know.
Plus, it has one of the best
you see
romances.
That dude's ass.
Yeah.
It's got one of the best romances.
That's a major plot point hinges on nudity, because yeah, you see that guy's ass, and they're like, oh, look at that tan line.
That's right.
There's your nudity.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that you probably always loved, and then Hot Fuzz came out and just reminded you of the things like that you thought maybe like you were the only one watching on TBS 10 times, and like, no. We want to shoot a gun off in the air just because you're upset.
Yeah.
Because you love that guy so much.
Yeah. And so, you want Pappas to be your partner.
Yeah.
Two meatballs ups.
Pre-crazy Gary Busey.
And
no, that's crazy Gary Busey.
Really.
With the awesome Chili Peppers cameo.
Flea?
Anthony Kiedis.
It was both of them.
Flea's in it too?
Flea, yeah.
Where's Flea?
He's probably like the really cracked out cokeheads. It's not Flea. It's just Anthony Kiedis.
It's just
Anthony Kiedis is the one who shoots himself in the foot.
Yeah, not Flea. Yeah.
Okay, I'm mixing that up with maybe it's on somebody else's list, the Chase. So I'll just, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to be on anybody's list.
All right. So that was your number five.
That's my number five.
That's my number five also.
Because Kevin. It's amazing. And almost still Catherine Bigelow's best movie, but...
Mm.
Reason. I'm going to say it's Catherine Bigelow's best movie. And if you are in the LA area, I don't know if it's still going on, but if it is, you should definitely check out Point Break Live.
Yeah, I really want to. I think they do it like once a month, though.
So. Yeah. It's hilarious. It's audience participation. So basically, they cast the Johnny Utah character out of the audience. Like, they have someone come on stage, and they have Catherine Bigelow, quote unquote, is in the play, and she's like directing you and telling you what to do if you get to play the Johnny Utah character, and it's hilarious.
You've gone to that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's so much fun.
Is there alcohol involved?
It's at a bar.
Oh, perfect then.
There is alcohol involved, and they sell like little kits. So it's like, all right, well, if you want to have money to give them when they do the bank robberies and they come through the audience and they rob everybody, and there's like a plastic bag you can wear over your head so you don't get water on you. I don't even remember. I got really drunk, so I don't remember the rest of the stuff that was in the package.
Nice. And then they just announced the remake, of course. But
they did that already. It was Fast and the Furious.
It was Fast and Furious. I've been saying that since it came out, that it's like 80% Fast and Furious is the exact like plot beats, beat by beat. They just replaced surfing with cars and made it bad. But
whoa there.
Whoa.
Well, but, you know, but I heard, I mean, maybe this is wrong, but that the remake is going to not involve surfing.
It's going to involve skateboarding.
Be called Point Break, because that doesn't make any sense. That's kind of missing the point.
No, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's talk about something happy.
Let's go. Kevin, what is your number five? Drop it like it's hot.
So when I thought of this list, I almost thought about just doing a whole like Van Damme list.
Yes.
But I decided I had to restrain myself.
Well, you got to save that for the Van Damme episode.
Well, I have...
Dedicated just to
Van Damme. I have a Van Damme film, and it's my number five. It's from 1995, and I love this movie, and it's Sudden Death.
Yes.
Very cool.
I mean, come on. It's... an action movie taking place at a hockey game, and it's the Blackhawks playing for the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh yeah, Chicago fan over here.
Yeah, and that's, I think this is because of that. That's why I watched this movie so much as a kid, because it's like, oh, he's at a fucking ice rink and he's kicking these guys. And Powers Booth as the coolest villain.
The freaking helicopter comes down in the middle of the Stanley Cup Finals. Was it Game 7? Right,
Game 7. Yeah.
Oh, come on, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love those where they utilize Van Damme. They get the Van Damage right, you know. Like, let's just plug him in where he belongs. Have him put the was it the kitchen fight with them? That movie's awesome.
It was no death warrant. Okay, no
death warrant.
But yeah,
and then he actually goes out in the goalie's uniform.
Yes, yeah,
and has that moment with his son. It's heartfelt. It's good stuff.
Very cool. I dig that movie. I'm glad someone put Van Damme in it. Mm-hmm. I'm literally saving it for the Van Damme episode. So, no Van Damme will be spoken to in this episode by me. I also left off T2 because it's got time. It's got a bunch of genres.
Yeah.
I also left out, for my list, I left out Heat because I always talk about it. And so, yeah, those are the only two I really kind of left out. So,
but again, those are things that, like I was saying, like that's like sci-fi. That's like a crime film. It's not always action that you think of first.
That's why I left it out.
Good job.
All right. So my number five is from 1995. And yeah, some people are going to not agree, but I love Bad Boys.
Oh, Bad Boys is great.
First, he was awesome.
Michael Bay movie.
I feel like this is going to be.
This is just awesome. Is going to be said a lot today.
Yeah, I feel like this is just going to be the listeners like, yeah, we have no arguments. Like, yeah. I'm glad that is on your list because now I can put something else on my list.
Yeah.
Because I do love Bad Boys.
Oh yeah.
Okay, but this is the point of contention. Possibly, I also like all three movies of Bad Boys 2. The three different movies of Bad Boys 2 is I enjoy all three of them together as one movie. That 2.5 hour long epic action movie that it is. That's so bad that it's good.
Yeah, I would put Bad Boys 2 on here too, but it's from the 2000 something. So
right.
But Bad Boys is like legitimately a great action film.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
like I don't know why Jackie you would Cairo. Complain about that.
And we first learned Michael Bay's signature shot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the reverse reveal.
Yeah, and shit just got real, guys.
And how he loves to cast your favorite character actors in all the other side roles.
Yeah, yeah. He's really I think that's what I enjoy the most out of watching his movies. I everybody's like, oh fuck, Michael Bay's doing Pain and Gain, but I'm like, you know what? I'm excited because it's back to action. So I can't
there
wait.
Are,
I
love no robots in disguise. Yeah, I'm happy about that.
And I liked Island, which I think was his last movie.
I don't.
Island, yeah. No, yeah. I liked Island too.
Island's great.
I
hate
the Island. So, I'm sorry.
Well, then shame on you, dude.
I hate it. Shame on Michael Bay.
Yeah.
And that
let's go back to
two hour long Pepsi commercial.
So Bad Boys 2.
It's not just Pepsi.
Martin Lawrence, Will Smith,
Joey Pants,
Pants. It's got Tay Leone. Yeah. So check it out if you haven't. It's basically a buddy cop movie.
See, that was my question. Are we going to do a buddy cop episode at some point now?
Eventually, I think. Okay. So.
But I think then that's going to alter my list a little bit too.
Bad Boys like perfectly harnesses Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah,
because very few times would that work. You know, Big Mama's House 4 proves that, or whatever they're at.
But Will Smith wasn't in that. So.
But I'm saying like harnesses them and then puts them together.
I kind of watch that though.
I'd watch that. If Will Smith was in that, it would be an amazing movie.
Big Mama's House, Big Willie.
Yeah.
Now, question. Speaking of Will Smith.
Well played.
Will Smith.
Yes.
Is he going to bring back M. Night? Or is M. Night going to ruin Will Smith? Like his streak of...
M. Night can't ruin Will Smith. But I don't know that Will Smith can bring back M. Night either.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't think he can bring back.
Yeah.
But Will Smith can't be defeated.
No.
You've seen
no.
his character name in that movie, right?
What's his name?
Cypher Rage.
Nice.
R-A-I-G-E.
Well, there you go. All right, so that was my number five, Bad Boys from 1995. Brian? Take your time, though.
Number four, 1993, mm-hmm. Cliffhanger.
Cool.
Nice. Now I can remove that from my list.
Seriously, dude.
That was honorable mention.
Is that your Seriously, dude.
Is that, do we have the same list?
Apparently so. But not anymore, because I'm changing it now.
That was your number four.
That was my number four, but it's not.
Because it's
not
amazing.
It is amazing. Oh, it's so good.
I hate it because it was always on TBS or whatever, and it seems so epic with the credits, and it's, you know, like two...
That music.
Two, it's like, no, yeah, oh, but, yeah, the music.
Is great.
And the whole opening sequence, they play it in the proper aspect. It's 2-4 or whatever, 2-3-5, one of those. And then, you know, once they're done with the credits, they're like, oh, we're going to crop this shit for you. And you're like, no, it was so big. It was,
it was gorgeous.
And I hate that they cut out the bit in the trailer where he like leaps between the cliffs, mm-hmm. and instead he just like jumps off the mountain.
Yeah,
but in my head he still makes that jump. You know, just the trailer. I used to pretend to do that as a kid, just like that's, you know, because you know you do the arms flailing.
Yeah. Oh,
you did too.
Yep.
Yeah. You know you did.
Yeah, you run in slow motion and then you jump off of the couch onto the love seat.
that's one reason this movie is amazing. John Lithgow. One of his best roles, villain. Oh, so Michael Rooker. It's just great. It's got, you know.
It's great. And I mean, it scared the shit out of me as a kid because I'm scared of heights. I was like, oh my God, get off of that cliff.
Yeah, no matter what you would say about the rest of the movie, everybody loves that opening. I mean, it's classic. Everybody mm-hmm. knows that.
Yeah.
Between the two lines.
Yeah.
Ace Ventura?
Yeah, Ace Ventura.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad Stallone made it to the list.
Of course.
And Adam. You're number four.
Hold on. So
he has to talk about Cliffhanger 2.
No, I don't. I don't. There's
no sequel.
That wasn't on my list. That wasn't on my list.
It should have been Cliffhanger 2.
Although I will say, 1993 seemed like a really good year for action movies.
Yes.
I felt like that year kept coming up. But all right, I'm just going to play a little musical chairs.
Improvise. Here we go.
Play a little musical chairs. Let's go with 1992,
mm-hmm.
Under Siege.
Yes.
Nice.
I just watched it twice in the same day.
Yeah. That's
awesome. I was
awesome.
Playing on TV, but I don't know why it was playing like on two
channels.
Are you sure
you didn't just watch both of them?
No. It was the same one. And you know what? I'm sorry. I watched it in Spanish and then I watched it in English.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Completely different films.
I fucking love this movie.
Both of these movies, actually, Cliffhanger and Under Siege, were movies that my dad's close friend had made copies of us for from his laser disc. So it was widescreen. I always got the widescreen. It was so cool.
This one has some boobs.
It does.
It got some boobs. What? Erica Elenak?
Dana?
Yeah.
You're right.
Erica Elenak.
Yeah.
Some
Baywatch.
Yeah. When she pops out of that cage.
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, before I saw the first one. And I saw the second one multiple times before I saw the first one.
Well, that's what's wrong.
So I have this weird thing where I actually prefer the second one.
That is a weird thing.
A lot of that is because Eric Bogosian.
He is great.
Yeah.
But there's no Tommy Lee Jones. There's no Gary Busey being crazy as that. Oh, him, like when he gets on that submarine, he just loses his shit.
The amount of Eric Bogosian crazy, I think, helps make up for some of that, though.
I love Eric Bogosian, but his crazy does not equal
and
Gary
who else,
Busey crazy.
The rest of the cast is, too, is filled with a bunch of, like...
Catherine Heigl.
Yeah, Catherine Heigl.
But let's talk about the better one.
The better.
With Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm doing air quotes from better.
This movie always makes me go, because he always plays such great stoic characters, but every time I watch this, I'm like, why doesn't he do like those fun, just animated, just goes
well,
for
he
it.
Well, he did, but then he did Two-Face, and I was like, maybe bring him back in there, Tommy.
Not too much.
Even at the beginning, like I remember when I watched Coal Miner's Daughter, and you're like, where's this Tommy Lee Jones been? He's
funny.
He's smiling. Yeah, he's having a good time.
I just watched it and I realized all the like character actors that are in that, like Colm Meaney.
Yeah,
he's great in that. I like the guy who plays the smart techie guy. He's like a really old guy with like glasses and he's supposed to be a nerd. And I'm like, didn't they notice that guy shouldn't be in a rock band? Like he's just way too old to like. No one said, like, hey, what's up with this
wait,
guy
oh,
with
yeah.
Glasses?
No, wait, he's a waiter. Because I think he's a waiter.
Oh, yeah, you're
time.
Right,
yeah.
You're right.
But, yeah, you would think, yeah, why is like, that guy a waiter?
Yeah. And Gary Busey just losing his shit is awesome. Dressing up as a woman.
As a woman, yeah.
Dressing up as a woman. And then Steven Seagal just kicking ass.
Yes. Just being badass.
Kicking ass and taking names.
Tommy Jones is badass in this thing.
He is.
He's just, like, he's funny. He's over the top. But he's like, he's so
I
good.
Love the way he eats that ham.
Yes. This movie makes me want to eat cold cuts.
Yes. Oh,
okay, so he's great up until the point when the big guns go off and then he loses his shit. And then he's even better when he's like gone deaf and he's just.
He's like sliding around.
Yeah.
He can't control like his own body.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. I like when he sets off the missile and he's like.
Yeah.
He's like,
and he's singing.
Yeah.
He's singing his rendition of Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now, question, and hopefully this doesn't step on toes, but is that your favorite Seagal? Or is there an 80s one that you like more?
No, I think Under Siege is my favorite Seagal.
Under Siege.
Although Glimmer Man is... No, I'm just kidding.
What's the one where he kills the bad guy like four times at the end?
Oh, Marked for Death?
That's Marked for Death?
Yeah.
Have you seen anybody remember the super kill at the end? He like full on picks the guy up, breaks his back, then throws him out the window, and then he like lands on
elevator shaft.
Throws him out the elevator shaft, and he lands a bunch of spikes or whatever.
Yeah,
just in case he wasn't dead.
A really cool scene in this movie in Under Siege is when they take down the fighter jet, and they basically have taken over the ship completely, and they shoot down the jet, and Voodoo Child starts playing Jimi Hendrix. Yes. I'm like, yeah, could use it, Jimi Hendrix. They're like, hey, Jimi Hendrix Estate, they want to use this movie for a Steven Seagal movie? And they're like, yeah. Yeah. But then like ten years later, they're like, maybe.
Andrew Davis, the director, who also did Above the Law. I guess he was just...
He was a fan.
He loves
He was a fan.
Go-to guy. But he also did The Fugitive.
Which, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Using Tommy Lee Jones again.
Yeah.
Apparently you like Tommy Lee Jones and Steven Seagal. Who
doesn't? I don't care.
Took you a minute.
Tommy Lee Jones is being
I just want to go watch Under Siege now.
Yeah. Very cool. Kevin, what is your number? Where are we at? Four?
Four.
That was a terrible Tommy Lee Jones. I'm sorry.
Okay, so since Brian went with Cliffhanger, I'm going to keep the Rennie Harlan love alive. And I'm going to go with the film from 1996.
Yes.
And it's The Long Kiss.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Everybody's taking my list. Yeah. But it means I can talk about other movies. I love this movie so much.
Oh, yes.
This was the first one I wanted to put on.
What happened to Gina Davis?
Yeah, what exactly? She is so,
so good.
Badass in this movie. When she just changes. When she comes out of that water and just the look on her face and she just
the look becomes, on her face.
Yeah,
you mean it was very icy.
It
in
was
that water.
Very yes.
You're subconsciously remembering that. You're like, her face. Really,
it was the hate in her eyes.
Does anybody remember who wrote
piercing,
that movie?
Very piercing.
Yeah. Shane Black, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, dude.
I love Samuel Jackson in that that supporting type of role.
Yes,
that's a duck, not a dick.
It's got some cool ass explosions.
Brian Cox is hilarious in this. When he
apparently ice explodes is what I learned from this movie.
Wow. I forgot Craig what is it?
Craig Bierko?
Bierko.
Yeah,
he's the bad guy.
Well, spoiler, wasn't he the fiance or something first?
No, the first time you see him, he stabs a dude.
Okay.
Yeah, she thought he was the fiancé. It was like the whole postcard thing, and that's why they went to find him.
But that wasn't Craig Bierko. That was someone else.
I got to rewatch this.
I love this movie.
It's been so long. It's
so good.
I watch this movie.
Tell us
so
the synopsis
times.
Real quick. This one's like some of you may have not seen.
Gina Davis is a woman suffering from amnesia, and she slowly starts to begin to recover her memories of her troubled past. Where she's basically an assassin.
Very cool.
It's cliche, but it's an execution.
It's like Bourne, kind of.
Well, it's like a million amnesia things. I mean, it's used a lot, but it's all about the dialogue and some of the way he stages the action. It's a lot of fun.
And Samuel Jackson.
And Samuel Jackson. Awesome. That's right. You can't kill me, motherfuckers. That's the best.
When she throws him out of the car in Atlantic City,
yes,
the music in this movie, like this movie, I feel like
awesome.
I hate to say it, but I mean, it felt like Shane Black and Co. kind of. So this was 96. Yeah, so it was like it just dovetailed into that whole Tarantino thing with the choice in music and having Samuel L. Jackson and just the feel of it, and they work so well together.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
I really can't wait for Iron Man 3. Yeah. Shane Black. He's amazing. All right. Where are we? Number four?
Yep.
My number four is from 1995. Again, making another appearance. There's two movies that I put in this. It's not exactly a tie, but it's just... It's the same actor. So I put them together. Sorry. So I put a movie from 91 and a movie from 95. They both star... Bruce Willis.
Okay, well, I'm guessing it's not the one I was thinking.
The Last Boy Scout and Die Hard with a Vengeance.
This is just everyone's. This is the every list.
More awesome. You got my number one and an honorable mention. So good job.
Well, there you go.
Well played. I'm not switching it. Number one belongs as number one.
Die Hard with a Vengeance. I would say sometimes, depending on my mood, sometimes this is the best one.
No, I agree. I think they're about on par. I would never say it's better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
About the only thing that keeps it from being better is you can tell they did reshoots for that final sequence. Yeah. That final scene doesn't quite match the awesomeness of the rest of Vengeance. This is just going to be all Samuel Jackson being
That's the
awesome.
Thing. I was like, I could have just done I could have done a list of nothing but movies from 1993 or a list of nothing but movies with Samuel L. Jackson as a supporting character.
Yeah.
It's great because it takes it, you know, he's not annoying sidekick. He compliments McClane perfectly.
I feel like they should have just spent the money and the time for the writer to actually write a good script. And if they wanted to make another Die Hard before the one with Justin Long, they should have just brought back Samuel L. Jackson. That's the key to everything. Bring him back. Bring back Jackson.
Bring back Zeus.
Yeah, and from the beginning of the movie, it's just a badass movie. And just the fact that how it ties up to... I could do without part two and just go like one and then three, and then you're like, fuck, that's awesome.
I love them all. I mean, all of the first three. I'm okay with the fourth one. I didn't see the fifth one because it looked retarded, and you guys didn't seem to like it very much.
The fifth one?
Yeah.
Which is the last one that just came out?
Yeah.
I liked it better than the one with Justin Long. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
Yeah. It was just not. Like, oh, mindless. No.
I hope you.
My Portland friends didn't like it as much. When I was in Portland, it was out, and I could have gone to see it, but I didn't because they weren't happy with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this movie. I feel like the reason I watch this one more than the first one is because it's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not in the mood for Christmas.
Yeah.
I just want to watch shit blow up.
Yeah. I like that.
Plenty of time to test those wits of yours.
Yeah.
And it's got
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons just being a badass. I love his American accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. He comes into the mankity.
And it's very violent. Like when he shoots those fuckers in the elevator.
Oh yes.
That is, I mean, it's pretty harsh for a mainstream action film.
Yeah. Or even like when she comes in like through the back, through the vault, and she's got the knife, and she just like slits that guy, just cuts that guy up.
There's just such great like set pieces, like the tunnel scene where the water's coming out.
Well, I mean, the trying to get, what is it, 80 blocks? And
oh, yeah,
and
when he takes the cab.
The cab.
Yeah. That scene. McClay! I can't do it.
And like the riddles and stuff. It's just great. Damn you.
And then that's my number one, but you also have
The Last
Boy Scout, which is more Shane Black.
Yes.
And Tony Scott.
Yes.
Which awesome. I haven't seen that in forever, so I the details are muddy in my head, but I just know it opens with a guy playing football, shooting people.
Mm-hmm. Billy Blanks.
Yeah. You can't not like
that. Pre-Tybo Billy Blanks.
Yeah. Yep.
And who's the bad guy? What's his name?
Which... Like the main bad guy,
no, the
guy that plays Simon, which is like a go-to villain.
It's like, it really it's like, is a go-to villain.
Was it like
Taylor Negron?
Negron?
Yeah. Yeah. He was badass.
It's awesome.
It's like, excuse me, officer, this gun seems to have too many bullets in it. It just blows him away.
I like when like he keeps giving him a cigarette and just beating the shit out of him.
Oh, and Kim Coates?
Yeah. Kim Coates is badass.
He really is.
Yeah.
He's not so badass in this movie, but he's badass in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's playing one of his slimy characters in this one.
He's so badass that in Open Range, he comes up for just like a minute and you're like, I know he was a badass, and Kevin Costner just shot him in the fucking face. But I know he was a badass because I keep talking about him.
And you know, I am actually a big fan of most Damon Wayans feature films. Take that, do with it with what you will.
Really?
Yes.
Most.
Yes.
Most.
Yes. Blank Man. Mo Money.
Bulletproof.
Bulletproof.
Okay.
And at the time when the last
I like those all. I like them all.
Okay.
Major Payne.
When
Major Payne.
When the last Boy Scout came out, I had a huge crush on the girl who played his daughter, Danielle Harris.
She's a scream queen.
Yeah, I still have a crush on her.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah,
this was such a cool movie. And I can't remember. It has been a while since I've seen it. Did the NFL license the names of the teams? Or
No, right?
No. They've never done that, right?
Yeah. They rarely do.
Yeah.
Well, they only did it for, like, the Mark Wahlberg movie. That was the only thing that I can remember.
Invincible.
Yeah, because it's basically showing how awesome the NFL is.
Yeah.
No, they didn't license them, but just that movie, it's all over the place, but so much fun. It's one of those new plastic keys, you know, the kind that explode.
Yeah.
Just like
is there gonna be any disagreement at
all? I don't think so. I think basically we're just making a collective list.
Yeah, especially with no ladies here tonight. There's no it's just all this.
I would be interested to see what Jenny's list
would be. I know, it's unfortunate.
So what is your number three? Brian.
1994. Speed.
Cool. Those are my honorable mentions. I like it.
I didn't step on it.
You didn't. See, that's the thing. As much as I enjoy Speed...
You can't not mention Speed when you're doing 90s action. It's a must.
See, I don't know. It was one of those movies where I didn't own it. I would just watch it at other people's houses all the time. Whereas, like, there's movies on my list where I'm like, I had to have this movie. Like, I had to have it. I had to watch it all the time. I wore that tape out. I had to tape it again off of HBO when we had the special preview.
But Yon de Bont.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I love the movie. I'm just...
No, it's great.
It's an honorable mention. I figured someone would have it.
What happened to John DeBont, dude? He did, like, Twister. It was good. And then, like, he went nowhere fast.
Speed 2.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
he was a great cinematographer. He actually DP'd for, like, a lot of really
good
movies.
Yeah, Die Hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
back when you had your anamorphic and your lens flares and everything looked cool for an action film.
Yeah.
Like, looked like a real movie.
Yeah. So...
You know, the thing about that, too, is you realize, like, why was Speed awesome? And then you look it up and you're like, oh, like, Joss Whedon did a polish on it, or, you know, like, there's all these different screenwriters that didn't get credited, but threw out fucking badass lines, and so...
yeah.
And just that scenario. Oh. That scenario is awesome. That's Jeff a perfect Daniels? Action setup.
It's a perfect action, high concept setup. But, I mean, even though it's not in the top five on my list, it's very memorable. Like, as soon as that credit sequence starts in the elevator, I know exactly what this movie is. And I'm sitting here and I'll watch it.
That, the elevator scene could be a short film. And it'd be, like, the best short film ever. Like, that's almost better than the rest of the movie. It's just the opening elevator sequence.
Yeah. It's.
This is when Sandra Bullock was good. Remember? When you're like, oh, this girl.
I like Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, I kind of like her.
She's like McConaughey. If they do other things, they're good. But when they start doing the same bullshit, they're bad.
When they do a good movie, it's a good movie.
All right,
but when
they do
The Blind Side.
Yeah. I love that. I love that that's the one you went with. And I agree. But, you know, there's a lot of choices there.
I thought she was funny in The Proposal.
I like The Net.
Dennis Hopper. Let's talk about Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper
is badass in this movie. Pop quiz, scary as fuck.
Yes.
It's a great, you know,
Jeff Daniels.
Just the chemistry between Jeff Daniels and Keanu, the banter,
and all the other people on the bus. You had what's his face? God, I can't remember names tonight.
Alan Ruck.
Yeah, Alan Ruck.
Glenn Plummer.
What's your name? I see her at Beth Grant. I see her in NoHo all the time. She goes to the NoHo.
Really?
Oh, I feel like I'm. I see her at the NoHo Lemley all the time.
The NoHo.
Back when I went there all the time. Before they closed Soul Dog, Joe, I would go there regularly.
Joe Morton plays the captain.
Joe Morton, yes, he's great.
Great character actor. Yes, Keanu Reeves. This is kind of like you were like, when's Keanu Reeves going to do another badass action movie? And then, bam, he drops it like it's hot. Damn you, Jan de Bont. Yeah, this is badass. I didn't see this in theaters, but I saw it on VHS.
What?
Yeah.
I just feel like we need to have a moment of silence for your childhood.
It's definitely one of the theaters. And I think it won sound editing Oscar, and that's one of those. I remember I was at the theater, and it was so fucking loud, and the sound effects in this movie are great.
Yeah, the sounds of the cars, the sound in the elevator, and then once they get on the subway,
when he takes the door off the car, when he hits the brakes, you know, it's like.
And also, like it also incorporated like history, LA history into it. The fact when they were building the 105, I was remembering,
it relevant.
I was like, that's so cool. I remember that.
That this is how most
he's internalizing it. He's making it personal here.
Yeah.
Well, this is how most people understood that LA also had a subway. Like, yeah, we got a subway too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere, but we got a subway.
Yeah, he's like trying to escape on it. Where are you going?
Going to downtown? You're screwed. It's really cool. I like the bus jump, and then they end up in LAX, right?
Yeah. Oh, and that explosion is huge.
Huge.
It goes on forever. They got like 10 angles on it.
Yeah. So very cool. That's your number three. Anybody else have that on their list?
I think it was just like yanking things off their list and replacing it with
your number
cooler
three
things.
My number three. All right. Well, this is one I feel like isn't going to get mentioned at all. So I bumped it up off of honorable mention. 1991, Harley Davidson and the Marlboro.
Yes.
I was looking at the list and I'm like, yeah, I like that. I'm not going to talk about it though.
I love it so
I do. I do like it. I do like it. I can't remember shit about it.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
This should just be called the TBS hour. This is like,
movies for guys who like movies, the podcast. Exactly. I loved this movie.
It's the only reason I watched it.
Makes no sense at all.
What's even the plot? Can we get the plot? Because I can't remember.
Okay,
yeah, I don't remember the plot.
I just remember it's Don Johnson and Mickey Rourke, right?
Yeah, Don Johnson is the quote-unquote Marlboro man, and Mickey Rourke is the quote-unquote Harley Davidson. But it's like, you don't really know why. It's like, he just rides a motorcycle and he rides horses. That's really the only explanation. You don't know if they're nicknames.
One made a little more sense
names.
Than the other.
And then Harley Davidson, he doesn't even ride Harleys as far.
He wears the jumpsuit the whole movie.
It's just weird, but so much fun, so bizarre. So basically, they're two best friends who used to like do minor crimes together, and they bring the gang back together to do one last heist. But they make the mistake of robbing Tom Sizemore's company. He's like drugs or something, some crazy crystal blue meth type thing. And so Tom Sizemore sends Daniel Baldwin and his weird group of armor wearing, they've got those armored flak jackets that they're always wearing, and they're always holding those weird guns, and they just like walk in a perfect line all the time. They have a helicopter that they go everywhere.
I can't remember any of the,
and
what
it makes
you're
no sense at all.
Yeah. I've like, seen this movie multiple times.
They pull this heist, and like 10 minutes into the movie, they pull this heist, and then all their friends are killed, and they have to go on the run. And like they've got a silver dollar that has a tracker in it, and they keep, because the guys keep showing up wherever they go, and they have to jump off of a hotel in Las Vegas, and it makes no sense. So much fun.
I think I remember like two action pieces from this.
Harley Davidson can't shoot a gun.
Yep.
And is there like some grenade scene?
There's a grenade scene, right? Something with a grenade.
Well, that's really specific. There's something with a gun or a grenade.
I'm sorry.
Somebody jumps. There's an explosion.
It's not a war movie. I think.
Isn't there like something like, with a grenade
in an office or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's you can't get that away. That's the very end.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is the memories I have of that. Like, there's a grenade scene, and he does something with the motorcycle at the end.
When Mickey Rourke was on
by the docks.
When Mickey
right?
Rourke helicopter. Was on the Actor Studio, they asked him about it, and he just leaned on his head. Yeah. And he's like, smoke another cigarette. Clearly, a dark,
he's
dark
very
time.
Proud of this movie.
Dark time for Mickey
it's
Rourke.
It's a fun, dumb movie with a lot of explosions and a lot of shooting.
Let's name some people off this list. Vanessa Williams is in it. Tia Carrera. what's her name? Kelly Hu. Giancarlo Esposito. Daniel Baldwin.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the trailer when we're done just to shake some memories loose.
Yeah. So very cool. I'm glad you put it on there. It's kind of fun. I think it should have stayed
in honorable mentions.
I watch this movie all the time.
I think, yeah. It's your number... It's on the list
this
for a reason.
This is a movie... No, whenever I went to my Uncle Jerry's house, I'm like, I have to wait for them to like not be looking so I can sneak into their TV room and watch his copy of Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man without anybody knowing. And Branscombe Richmond, who you may remember from his work on Renegade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vest, no shirt.
I'm just going to guess that the guy that did that movie hasn't worked again since. I think it's one of those, probably.
Simon Windsor?
Yeah.
He did Free Willy.
Yeah.
And The Phantom.
Clearly, he worked
And again. Quigley Down Under.
Yeah.
Quigley Down Under is amazing.
All right, where are we at? Three?
Yep.
Kevin, what's
Kevin,
your number
let's
three?
Let's do it.
Okay. I think I may, not stepping on anybody's list, may bring the only Criterion film
Uh-oh.
To this list.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going with, from 1996, The Rock.
Yes.
Oh, no! It's my number three! That's cool!
Yes.
I own this on Criterion.
Exactly. Honorable mention, for sure. More Michael Bay.
I felt bad because I put two Michael Bay, like Michael Bay's two first movies on here, but I don't give a shit.
They're perfect.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I didn't know which Michael Bay movie to put.
This is still his best, I think. Again, perfect setup, perfect action setup.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree
like
with
perfect
that.
High concept, and then just putting Nicolas Cage straight off his Oscar win into batshit crazy mode, and pairing him with Sean Connery.
Yes.
And then filling out the rest of the cast with Ed Harris and...
I just like Nicolas Cage right off of his Oscar thing in an action movie playing the pussy.
Playing the pussy, yes. That's what he gets wrong.
Guys with guns, that way when he's just playing.
I mean, he's off his rocker lately and you wish he would do this again. He hasn't done, like, do the big action film, Nicolas Cage, but don't be the badass, you know? Be the nerdy scientist guy.
That's why he was so badass in Kick-Ass, I thought, because he kind of like took... supporting
he was
him.
Playing both. He was the geek and the hard ass.
Yeah. So let's thank some people that are on here. Of course, the leads, Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, Ed Harris. We got David Morse, William Forsythe, Michael Biehn. Vanessa Marcel, John C. McKinley. Fucking awesome. Tony Todd. You have so many.
John Spencer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nor Bash.
Claire Forlani as his daughter.
Losers always whining about that. Bash.
this movie's awesome. It just incorporates so many cool things.
I love the made Alcatraz. Up the made up toxin, the made up fucking thing. Like, hopefully that's made up.
Well, every time he has to stab himself in the chest, I'm just like, oh, that just seems like the worst thing in the world.
Oh, it's amazing.
And this kind of cemented like Michael Bay as like he kind of cemented his signature shots. You know,
the reverse reveal is is like even big. It's like, oh, you thought it was Big and Bad Boys? No, man, we're gonna throw a jet and some flares.
Yep,
bigger
and an unnecessary chase scene in the first act.
Yeah,
whoa, that is critical
necessary.
To the plot.
Yes,
critical to the plot.
Like, okay,
he's got to get away so
we
can find his daughter.
Time.
We need his daughter to show up so we have his emotional touchstone for the movie.
Let's get a Lamborghini in here and a Hummer.
At one point,
and the Vespa.
Nicolas Cage calls Sean Connery on the car phone. Right? Yeah. How did he get the phone number?
He's in the FBI.
Yeah, he's the FBI. Guess, he can get the...
The FBI will give you someone's phone number. They will teach you how to surf.
Yeah.
Was this the last time Sean Connery was like...
Badass?
Yeah, like actually caring, trying in a
role. Mean you didn't like Entrapment?
No, I did not like Entrapment.
I think he kind of cared for Finding Forrester.
Yeah.
I think he did.
You're the man now, dog.
But no, this is a great movie, and I always wanted, I just wanted a sequel. I wanted to know where Sean Connery's character went. I wanted to know what's up with him.
No, it's perfect. You can't improve upon perfection.
I just wanted to see more fully clothed Vanessa Marcel sex.
Yeah, yeah. She was really good looking. Yeah.
Come on. She's fully clothed, grinding into him. They're having sex, but
yeah. My favorite
when he gets
isn't
called,
she dressed like doesn't she have like wings on or something?
She's got like
angel
poofy,
wings on.
Poofy yeah. Things. Yeah.
Oh, she's got like a boa, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. It's a boa that she has on.
Okay, there is some bad B movie, like straight to DVD movie, that totally stole the opening of The Rock.
Really?
Like shot for shot. The whole thing with the VX gas or whatever, and like they drop the ball and it breaks on the door and the guy starts suffocating. Exact. I'm like, how did you get away with it? Like, I don't know if it's some German movie where they just, fuck you, we don't care about your copyright.
Yeah.
But exact opening. I was so baffled when I saw this. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but I was just so dumbstruck when I saw it.
Oh, I love that opening. And
it's creepy.
Harris, have you watched the special features on the Criterion, Ed Harris is fucking intense, like just so intense. He like during like when he messes up a line and stuff, he calls Michael Bay sir the whole time. He doesn't break character. He calls him sir, and he gets so upset when he flubs a line. He's like, "Fuck, sorry, sir," and he's like goes again.
That's
and
awesome.
It's like he's so intense. I
think
love
it's funny
Ed Harris.
When people like want to criticize the Criterion Collection, they always bring up the fact that The Rock and Armageddon are in the collection, mm-hmm. and I'm like, so like what are you talking about?
Yeah,
one, they're great movies. Like yeah. Two, they funded all these other indie hits that you hadn't heard of.
Yeah,
so they could
exactly.
be on DVD.
It's like what's wrong? And RoboCop too. Yeah. Like come on, yeah. like. Yeah. At least they went
where
they came correct, son.
I want the Criterion Collection to do my Blu-ray, Armageddon, and The Rock Criterion. I want it. I want it now.
And RoboCop.
And RoboCop, yeah. One of my favorite lines is, "We've spelt the same blood in the same mud."
And it's like, well, the standoff when they come in the bathroom is great.
Yeah, so that is also my number three. Kevin's number three. What's your number two?
My number Brian. Two is 1994. Also, True Lies.
You nice. Jerk. It's my number two.
I knew Ricardo was going to have this on his list.
I figured you would have it.
I think it belongs on a bunch of different lists, but you know, you could go Spy, you could go remakes.
I'm having a weird epiphany where I feel like since I've modified my list because of other people's picks so I can talk about other movies, I don't think Arnold's going to be on my list at all. Is that weird?
Well, his stuff in the 90s is a lot of sci-fi, you know, so...
I guess I could throw Kindergarten Cop in there.
But sure. Yeah, True Lies is great. There's so many great set pieces.
It's also a remake.
That's what I just said.
Oh, sometimes I don't pay attention to you. So I love this movie. How many times did you watch it in theaters? First of all, let me preface this by I was still underage when this movie came out. So we literally went to the movie theater and I went, it was me and a friend. My friend and I, sorry. And can we get two for True Lies? And they're like, are you guys 17? No. Well, they can't sell you the tickets. We literally turn around and we like talk to each other, kind of like when you're whispering. You're like, excuse me, can we get two for The Lion King? She clearly knew what we were doing, but she's like, yeah, screw it.
I actually, I didn't see this in theaters.
Oh.
And I know why. I know why. Because the trailer, they advertised the sex, if you will. The Jamie Lee Curtis strip scene, mm-hmm. and I was in that phase of like, yeah, girls, you know, I was too young. So I was like, I don't want to.
Weren't you also 11 when this came out? I was fuck yeah, let's go see Jamie Lee Curtis stripper for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I was like, no,
you're dabbling with men?
In my head, in my head, I saw the trailer
he's
and
like,
I
guys,
thought,
yes.
No, they definitely, the trailer hyped up the romance of it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So it made me think like, I didn't know, I was too young to realize like, no, it's fucking the guy that did T2, like you're gonna like this, it's gonna be action. Instead,
I don't understand. I mean, beyond all that,
your argument's
11,
not making sense. Yeah.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger was in this movie. I accidentally saw Junior because Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it.
I can't explain how these things happen. I
had a huge crush on Alyssa Dushku.
Oh,
since then, seen it plenty of times, okay?
All right, let's talk about the people in it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton, being just a slimy... he's
Bill
awesome.
Bill Paxton's great.
He's so good. Tia Carrera,
Grant Heslov.
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston with a fucking eye patch. How awesome
it's
is
like,
that?
How do you make Charlton Heston more of a badass? I love it too, because it's
like... And the company they work for was kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D.
It was kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, essentially, it's great... I think more people should do this. Instead of trying to get a Bond movie, just go make your own fucking Bond movie. And that's what this is. It's great. It's like, no, we're not going to wait for the rights. We're not going to cast a British guy. We're just going to make up our own spy community and make it awesome.
Yep.
So good.
And funny.
Yes. And funny.
Hilarious.
Tom Arnold.
The scene. Not just Tom Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the scene where they give him the truth serum.
Yeah, yeah.
That is one of the... at his funniest.
Yeah, but they were all bad.
My favorite is the interrogation with Bill Paxton when they're like about to shoot him, and he's all, "I'm sorry, I got a small dick.
I got a tiny dick. It's pathetic." Yeah. I pissed my pants.
When they've got the Black Ops phone, he's like, "It looks like she's got her head in his lap." her head's definitely in his lap.
Yeah. And then Grant Heslov, people who don't know, he's now accomplished writer and producer
and Academy Award winner
with Clooney. Partners with Clooney.
When he pulls over the side, he's like, "Give me the goddamn page."
Yeah, and just the opening scene, like how it starts off like a really cool Bond movie, a Bond opening. Yeah.
I love, and he does the ridiculous screenwriter trope, having, you know, he's chasing him on a horse with a motorcycle, and it fucking works. It works amazingly.
I just love
into a hotel.
He tries to get the horse to jump, and the horse is like, "Hell no!" He's like, and then I forget what he says to the horse, but I just love that scene.
It's a great movie. I knew I didn't have to have it.
One of the best bathroom scenes ever. Bathroom fights.
Oh, one of my favorite scenes is when they shoot Tom Arnold, then he hides behind the middle post.
Yeah.
And then he checks everything, and then he checks his crotch. Yeah. And then he follows him.
And Jamie Lee Curtis was good in it.
Yeah,
she was
amazingly really
attractive.
Sexy.
Yeah. At first you're like, who's this lady? And then she gets all sexified, and you're like, that's what I'm talking about. All right, that is my number two as well. Your number two?
Yes.
Adam.
So good. Okay, so my number two...
Just more awesome. Come on, keep the awesome coming.
1995.
Okay.
Desperado.
Yes!
Nice. Yes!
Yes!
Somebody brought it up. I was going to bring it up, but thank God you did.
After seeing this movie... didn't just walk around pretending to have two guns and just like flailing them. Like, it doesn't even make sense the way he shoots these guns. He's like flicking his wrist. Like, why do you shoot a gun like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He like introduced a new way for you to play fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
To play guns.
Yeah.
And Westerns with your friends. Yeah.
It doesn't, I don't understand what flicking your wrist does. I don't know if he preempted wanted and he was curving his bullets or what was going on.
And how had there never been a guitar case rocket launcher before this movie?
I don't know.
Had there been? I don't know.
Or a machine gun?
And a machine gun? You're just like, somebody must have thought of this before.
I mean, I guess in Django, kinda.
Yeah.
Like one of the Django movies, but not the same way. Very different.
This movie but is so badass. Much fun. It incorporated everything. It like incorporated like the fact that I had already seen Reservoir Dogs and I loved Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
And you're like, what? He's in it?
He's great in it.
Yeah.
And the whole opening.
Yeah.
It's like the light. He's like, dim just for him.
He's like, can I have a cleaner mug? He's like, fuck you.
Cleanest mug I got. Yeah. Cheech. Cheech is great.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, guess what? He didn't check out. You know? Like Cheech being badass, blowing people away.
He's like, the bartender never gets killed.
He's like, no, man.
He gets killed.
Bartender got it worst of all.
The story he's telling, like, it's funny because the action is over the top but really fun. But the story he's telling, it even gets even like more fantastical.
They do like the same, they do a bar shootout three times, right?
Yeah.
And it's like awesome each time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's funny.
They find new ways to have a bar shootout.
It's funny because when in the last shootout, they never show you the shootout. The last one where he finds Bucho, and he's there and he's like, oh, hermano.
And it's all off camera.
Yeah, yeah. And then he pulls out his gun, then it cuts to black, and you're like, no, I wanted him to see you kill him.
Kill the
hermano.
And then like when they all run out of bullets, and they're like grabbing the next dead guy's gun.
Oh, yeah,
he just fucking snaps his neck. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. And I love the scene with Tarantino.
Yeah.
That's by far Tarantino's best
two great
cameo.
Great monologues.
Yeah.
Buscemi's and Tarantino's.
Yeah.
So good.
His joke is pretty amazing. And his
think
partner.
Think about the cup. Think about his dick. Think about cup. Cup dick. Cup dick. He's a glass. Glass. Glass dick. Glass dick.
Oh, it's so so good. So much fun. All
that's still Rodriguez's best movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And this also.
I don't think anyone in their right mind would say otherwise.
No.
Yep.
I'm just and, you know, some people might prefer something else.
And but so basically, people who haven't seen it, it's Desperado. Antonio Banderas is a, like a gunslinger. He's looking for revenge.
He's a guitar player.
They killed his wife or his loved one, and he's
and shoot his
for
hand.
Yeah, and he's looking for the guy who kind of ordered it. And spoiler alert, it gets crazy.
Hermano.
Yeah.
Selma Hayek is great.
Selma Hayek is. It, so this introduces
Danny Trejo.
Introduces to Danny Trejo and really kind of brought Selma Hayek to like the American market and showed us her boobies.
I think that's a double.
I think it's a body, double.
It's a double. I think the first time you see her boobies is Frida.
I'm going to have to see.
Because it was for DVD. Art.
I'll be the judge.
Like, literally,
we have to pause the episode. We have to go.
Yeah. Let's go.
So if you're doubting yourself as well out there, listener, pause this. Go check out Desperado DVD. Tell us what you tweet us.
Tweet us.
Is it real or not? Like,
forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Yeah. And then it's a Buscemi.
Yeah. and then it's just an amazing
it's
movie.
It's so much fun. Yeah. I remember my dad taking me to see this movie. Wait, so 95?
Yeah.
So it's like 12. And me and my friend Brian, not this Brian who's here, but another friend Brian, for a whole year, I think we just talked about Desperado all the time. That was our favorite movie.
And my favorite thing is when he turns around, he's going to fall off the building, and the guy comes up into the roof, and he launches himself off the roof while he's shooting, dude.
Yep.
And he lands.
Yeah,
like,
he lands.
That's one of those that was like cliffhanger, where it was in the trailer, and I was like, they better not. Cut. He better land on the other side. He better make it, because cliffhanger burned me. Okay, I need to see this. I need to see this amazing, crazy, over the top thing happen.
I feel like this movie could have also just been called Shootout.
Yeah,
the movie.
Yeah, and this is kind of like it's kind of like Evil Dead 2, where it's like kind of like a sequel to El Mariachi, but it's kind of like a retelling of
right. Which confused me for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah, but they go well together. If you buy them on DVD or Blu-ray, sometimes they come out in
now. Two-pack. What's everybody's thoughts on Once Upon a Time in Mexico?
Fuck that movie.
Oh,
okay,
that was horrible.
Hate it.
I feel it
also looks like ass. That's one of those early digital adopters, and it just did not.
Yeah, no, that was a piece of shit. I'm sorry,
and that's. I think what was wrong with that movie mostly, well, we know what was wrong with it, but it's like he had too much money and he had the ability to do digital effects where he didn't in this. It was a lot of this was practical stuff. So that's what's so fun about Desperado. And I wish he does another one and he just says, sorry, I messed that up.
I love just like with Rock, unnecessary things. This one has the let's have an unnecessary fist fight.
Yeah.
Just to get like this new guy who is pointless. He doesn't need. You don't need to set that character up at all. But it's like we want to watch him break that guy's leg, and prove he's a badass. Just we're just gonna have fist fight.
Yeah.
Just right now.
And then he calls his mariachi friends, and they bring the firepower. That's a good shootout. People like getting launched. You know, he shoots a car and it explodes.
And the guy flies.
Yeah. I'm like, yes, love that. And this kind of correlates to my number one, but we'll get there soon.
that was my number two.
That was your number two, Kevin.
Okay, so my number two is from 1997, and it's a little more Nicolas Cage love, and all I can say is
face
off.
Face. Yes. I love that.
I want to take his face.
I got to use the little boy's wee-wee room. Yes. Because that's an amazing line.
Whose performance is more crazy over the top?
Nicolas Cage.
I'd say Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
because Nicolas Cage has the whole Handel scene where he's like rocking out to Handel's mass, and like grabbing the choir singer's ass.
Yeah,
yes,
and he's got the "If I Were to Let You Suck My Tongue" scene.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like Travolta, even when he's playing
Nicolas Cage,
the Nicolas Cage, he's just being so cool about it.
Well, he's taking his cues from Cage.
Yeah,
is the thing. He's like.
Well, and then you have him later where Nicolas Cage is high on drugs, and he's got that scene where he's looking in the mirror and he's got this really crazy face, and then Gina Gershon comes in behind him and punches him, but he's got this like really crazy look and he turns around and his eyes are like wide open. Yeah, I would say Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's badass.
All right.
I just heard Gina Gershon on the What the Fuck podcast, and she was talking about like working with Nicolas Cage. It was really fun to hear her talk about how nice they were and stuff.
What were the character names in this one? They were
Sean Archer and Caster Troy.
Yeah. Caster Troy. God, who writes that shit?
Okay. So you know what's even better than watching the movie is reading the novelization of the movie.
Wow.
Because how old was I? It was 97, so I was like 13 going on 14. And I was on a Europe trip, and I bought a bunch of books, quote unquote,
wow,
to take with me on the trip. And like, I think three of them were novelizations of movies.
Wow.
At least, no, I got two of them. So one was Men in Black, the novelization of the movie, and Face Off, and
you
The Shining.
You just read the comic? Like, you're like, I need to see the adaptation.
No, I wanted to read the novelization.
You wanted to get the experience.
No, shut
that
up, Brian. I wanted the book.
I wanted the book. I wanted the words. I saw the images.
I was in Europe. I needed to seem classy.
Yeah. No, you don't understand. While I was there, Men in Black had just come out in Europe, but I was in Spain, so it was Hombres de Negro everywhere. And like they had the premiere, and they had these two guys dressed up like Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, but it wasn't them. But it was like, it was like the big Spain, the Madrid premiere, and these two guys pretending to be Tommy Lee Jones. And
this is like
Joan Allen's in there.
Yeah.
Joan Allen. Dominic Swain.
Dominic Swain.
John Carroll Lynch.
Come on, you only know Dominic Swain because of one movie. Come on. You're throwing that name out there. Like
Dominic Swain has been in a bunch of movies.
Yeah. Alpha Dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lolita.
Yeah.
That's it.
No. She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Sure, she's a great she's a great actress.
Well, no one said that. Nobody said she's a great actress. We just said her name.
Growing up, I was very attracted to her. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Colm Feore is the doctor.
The brother is
Nick Cassavetes.
Nivola,
yeah.
Nick Cassavetes is in this.
I always forget Margaret Cho is one of the agents.
Yeah.
Lots of doves.
Yes.
So let's talk about John Woo. John Woo, this is his...
Whoa. Let's save some John Woo for...
Oh, yeah. He's my number one.
Okay.
We just want to talk about John Woo in general.
Okay.
Yeah. He had doves and two guns.
Yeah,
yes,
so,
exactly.
Well, and rock music. And the back-to-back, the mirror.
Yeah. So this is this is his third American film. He started off with Hard Target.
Oh, yeah.
Then he did Broken Arrow, and he loved John Travolta, apparently. And he's like, I got to cast him again. And so this movie actually, in the original script... which I found online. Yes. And it originally took place in the future. And John Woo was like, no, this is not realistic. So he brought it back. He's like, it's going to be set now and not in the future. And it's badass.
It really is.
The helicopter
scene.
He's like,
logic, who cares?
I mean,
yeah.
In my mind, it was already the future because they could do face transplant surgery.
Yes. Yeah.
And that weird prison. I'm like, this prison
with the magnetic boots.
With the boots left over from Super Mario Brothers, the movie,
yes.
looks like the future to me.
Yeah. So very cool. Very cool pick. My number two was True Lies. So you're recapping your number one.
All right. It was number five, Point Break. Number four, Cliffhanger. Number three, Speed. Number two, True Lies. And number one was Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Very cool. We talked about that. So, Adam, your recap and your number one.
Okay. So, my number five was Point Break. My number four was Under Siege. My number three was Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
You can't say that.
My number two was Desperado. And my number one... My Michael Bay movie. No, it's not my Michael Bay movie. Where's my Michael Bay movie? Where'd it go? I lost it.
I think you can say it without looking at it.
Can I? No.
You're allowed to.
No, I'm not doing it.
You're allowed to.
No, I'm rearranging my list. No. I'm not doing it. I'm going different.
Do it.
I'm going different. I'm going 1997. I'm doing Simon West. I'm going Con Air.
Yes.
Yes. I love Con Air.
I do too, but I guess, you know, everything else has been mentioned. You got to get to Con Air.
Con Air is like the greatest hits. Like the greatest hits album. Like it's got Danny Trejo. Name all the people in there. This is like a really good mixtape.
It's all about Steve Buscemi still, though.
It's a mixtape of like all the cool actors that have been like Michael Bay, and not Michael Bay, but
Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer movies. They're like, let's just put them on a little pot and see what kind of stew we get.
Yeah. And then just throw Malkovich in there.
Malkovich.
Cyrus the Virus?
Come on, they cast Buscemi as the Lecter character. That's genius.
Yeah. So it was directed by Simon West. Let's name all the people. So we have, of course, Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames,
Dave Chappelle.
Cue Ball. Oh, I'm going to miss Cue Ball.
Yeah. John Cusack, again, Colm Meaney.
MC Gainey, right?
Yeah.
Michael T. Williamson?
Michael T. Williamson, yeah. You have a bunch of character actors that you've seen in a bunch of movies. Jose Zuniga.
Rachel Ticotin?
Yes, dude.
Is that how you say her name?
I think so.
Did
I
we say so. MC Gainey as Swamp
yes.
Thing?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Was it one of the cops, one of the hostage cops? Wasn't he one of the guys?
Yeah, the Hispanic guy? What are you talking about?
I think one of them was somebody.
MC Gainey?
You guys have it in front of you.
MC Gainey?
No, that's the pilot.
He's Swamp Thing. Who are you talking
Monica
about?
Monica Potter as his wife?
That's right.
Yes, dude.
Was the daughter, did she grow up to be anybody? Because that seems to be the theme with some of these.
Landry Albright.
Oh, are you talking about Jose Zuniga as the DEA agent?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess she's done stuff, but she's not really famous. The girl who played his daughter is Landry Albright. So I don't recognize her from a lot of things. She was in Seventh Heaven for a while. All right, Con Air.
John Cusack.
I'm telling you, greatest hits. Everybody, they're like everybody who's anybody. Let's put him in this. Who's not working? Let's get him in this movie. The scene in Vegas.
I feel like we've talked about this scene several times, but the walking away from the explosion scene.
Yes.
Yes.
Just the iconic scene.
Yeah.
That shows you how much of a badass John Malkovich is. He's like, no, I'm not flinching. I'm in the moment.
Yeah.
I don't care about how big the explosion
is. That's
right.
Oh, that's right.
I don't dance for the man.
I'm not supposed to look back.
Yeah.
I'm not looking back.
Yeah.
Fuck that explosion.
He's like, we're doing one take. One take.
It's like, dude.
Do not mess
MC
up this
Gainey
take.
And Danny Trejo both flinch. Malkovich.
They don't just flinch. They flinch like bitches.
Yeah, like they jump.
It's not like.
I mean, I'm sure they could both kick my ass. I'm just saying. I would jump too.
Yeah.
Malkovich. I would cry. I would just fetal position and start bawling.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Who played the female cop? Do you guys know?
She's Ticotin. I asked you how to say her name.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Lady from Total Recall.
Yes. Yeah. Good pick, man. Good pick.
I love this movie.
Kevin, what is your recap and your number one?
Okay, so my recap. 5, I had Sudden Death. 4, The Long Kiss Goodnight. 3, The Rock. 2, Face Off. And my number one, and I was scared that Brian would have this on here, but then he said he didn't do any sci-fi action. It's from 1997, and it has just an awesome character named Johnny Rico, and it's Starship Troopers.
That would be my number one. With sci-fi, I think if you're doing that, that movie. That's one of those. That's one of those where you probably saw it in theaters. You were what? What are we? 14 around then?
Yeah.
And
it's got the action, and
That's one of those. That's one of the first movies I got like 8 to 9 friends to go see, and the reviews were terrible, and it didn't have a good opening weekend.
Wait, you were looking at reviews when you were 14?
Yeah. Some.
There's something wrong with you.
But then you go see it and you're like, what the fuck is everybody talking about? This movie's amazing.
Yep.
And the special effects are, it's got everything. So it's got co-ed showers.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And it's
oh yeah.
It's super, it's like, it's gonna, if you're gonna do this R-rated type of thing, indulge in it. Like fucking just decapitations, limbs being flung, bodies being torn apart.
Like, I feel like in school, like throughout the year, I had been talking about co-ed showers. Like, dude, what? Like talking to my friend, like, dude, don't you wish like we had co-ed showers? How cool would that be, man? And then like this movie came out, I'm like, dude, where's my friend? I need to show him this. Like, this is my idea. They stole it.
It's great. It's great that it's like getting reappreciated now. Like people are like, oh, satire. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, Verhoeven. Oh, okay. We like this.
We forgot.
And also all the weird 9/11 parallels, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Very cool freaking movie, man. Casper Van Dien.
Van Dien.
Van Dien. Sorry.
Van Dien.
Oh, sorry.
Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser.
He.
A really young. A young.
He is afraid.
Yes. What's your name? Dina.
Dina Meyer.
She shows her boobs in this too.
She does, yes.
Jake Busey.
That's when you go for Denise Richards and you realize the other chick's better looking. You know, you're like,
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown is badass.
Yeah,
and of course
Michael Ironside.
He's so badass.
Yeah,
soldier, put your hand up here. Yes, if I can throw some, like the training in that movie, like the boot camp. God, that's amazing. He shoots the fucking guys live ammo, blows the guy's head off. Medic.
I forget the actress's name.
Hey, what's going on? It's war. We're going to war. Who missed that was satire? I don't know how you watch that movie.
Foreign infantry, maybe the man I am today.
I love to. I don't know if anybody's seen this. I went through the entire 15-hour documentary of the story of film. It's on Netflix. And you know, you got like all these art house foreign classics, indie silent films, and they dedicated 10 minutes to Starship Troopers. Awesome. And they're talking to the screenwriter and everything, and it's like, yes, it got its due. It's in this story. It's in the history of film, this fucking movie. And the guy talking about, too, how the one scene where, like, okay, the one scene that's on the nose, so that if you didn't get that it's satire at this point, is when Doogie Howser comes in, and he's basically dressed as an SS officer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they thought it was too much. It was like, people are going to – and people still missed it. And he comes in, and he's just like –
well, the whole –
He gives the whole speech about, you know, people die. I make decisions, you know.
The whole, all the stuff with the air marshals, Mike, this looks, I mean, well, just, this looks like Nazis.
Yes. Would you like to know more?
The symbol itself is, it's a fascist symbol.
And the kid wants to go to war.
Yeah.
Yes.
But hold on, I've totally forgot that Rue McClanahan plays the biology teacher. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a girl in this, her name is, let me find her, Blake Lindsay. I remember watching her in Swingers, and I remember thinking, like, what happened to this girl? Like, she never did anything else. And then, bam, she pops up topless. Like, what? This movie's every, like, action scene is, like, awesome.
Yeah, it keeps getting, like, different bugs, different, like, oh, now we're going to have badass people being melted, and just every kind of gore-tastic thing with sci-fi. And the satire elements, great.
This movie is one where I wish they could remake, because the sequels have been, I've sat through two of them.
No, but to say that would completely, I mean, anybody doing it, not Verhoeven, it's not going to be, they've done plenty of the straight to
then get Verhoeven back.
TV movies.
Get him back.
To remake his own movie.
Yeah. With Jake Busey.
I don't think this is a movie that they necessarily need to be remade.
Just a fun movie. Such a fun movie.
I know you want to be you want more time in that universe, but it's like, unless Verhoeven's
just
doing
remake
it.
All the sequels. How about that?
Maybe I'll do that. Very cool.
I think it's my favorite Verhoeven. I just
RoboCop.
RoboCop. I know, but this one's so great. It's
great, but RoboCop.
There's also Total Recall.
The director's cut of RoboCop. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I loved RoboCop.
I love that the director's cut of RoboCop is just like 60 seconds extra. It's not.
It's more than 60 seconds.
No, it's essentially like the one. It's his death.
Co-ed shower. Longer death scene.
The death scene. And
that's
then
more than 60 seconds.
It's the Ed 209 killing the guy is about like 5 frames longer, but it's an amazing 5 frames.
Yes.
And then they had to cut out his death, the first death. Which sucks, because like the animatronic thing they did on that is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and they did the camera shot to show it off.
Yeah.
And then what? That's like it.
So get it on Criterion if you can, because that has.
I think it's 90 seconds.
I think I know the Criterion is great to have, but I think the Blu-ray release they did of it,
it's
I think
not,
it has
no,
that.
Not director's cut.
It doesn't have that on it.
Only Criterion.
Not like a deleted scene.
But only you Criterion. Can, if it's still on Netflix, it was streaming as unrated, so it did have.
Ooh.
So it was there the director's cut.
Starship Troopers has all that in there already.
Brian.
No need to cut.
Brian.
It's all there.
All right. I'll do. So that was your number one?
Yes.
I'll do my recap and then my number one. My number five was Bad Boys. Yes.
Yes.
Number four was Die Hard and the Last. Sorry, Die Hard with a Vengeance and The Last Boy Scout. Three, The Rock. Two, True Lies. And my number one. From 1992.
Yes, I knew you would do this.
Hard boiled. I remember when I first saw this, I was like, "What's going on? I never seen it. What is this? Who is this?" It was just like, it's funny because they describe it as a ballet of bullets, and they're not lying. It's literally like just that opening scene when they're at the restaurant, mm-hmm. and he slides down the staircase and.
And what's the other, the woos right before this one?
The killer.
Now, I prefer Hard Boiled.
I prefer The Killer.
You prefer The Killer?
I prefer The Killer, but that was 1989, yeah. So I couldn't put it to this.
So you guys prefer
list.
That? Okay. I think that last, the shootout with the shotgun in the hospital, that's just.
Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, there's an amazing one taker at the end of this where he's going like in an elevator, going to a different floor. It's all in one shot. With a shotgun, and it is an amazing.
No, the best thing about that though is he gets in the elevator, and the budget you know, he doesn't go to another floor. He gets in the elevator and they redress the set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he just blew the fuck out of this. There's bodies everywhere, squibs and whatnot, bullet holes. And they like, while he's in the elevator, they're like, okay, fucking, you can just imagine all these, you know, the Asian crew just like quickly moving in the new set. And then he comes out and it's like, time to kill some more motherfuckers. Yeah.
I believe that's what the subtitle said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty great.
Yeah. But my favorite is will always be the killer. It's just for a long time I wanted a white suit. Just when I get married, I want to get married in a white suit.
Lots of doves.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
I just think this one,
two holsters with guns. I think for no reason.
Hardboiled's a better action film, if you can at least
agree
with that.
I agree with that. But The Killer's a better movie, period.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm not gonna agree with that, but if that's the argument I'll make, the difference between those two.
But yeah. I'm surprised they haven't remade this movie. Like straight up Hardboiled or The Killer. But
I think he kept trying. That's what his American films were.
Yeah, yeah. So
then the doves just kept getting bigger and bigger.
John Woo with doves.
His dove budget. He just
shotguns.
That's why he can't do American films anymore. They're like, dude,
we don't have money for doves.
We're running out.
Yeah, they're an endangered species.
He refuses CG doves. He refuses.
Actually, in the
I bet they are right. He did probably he,
in Redcliffe. There's a CGI dove, dude.
There is
POV. Of
he's
the
like
dove.
He couldn't get the doves quite how he wanted until. The computer model of it.
He's like James Cameron finally came to me and he said, "We figured out the doves problem that you had in 19."
He needs to do 3D doves. We need 3D doves.
So check out. I mean, if you always wonder like, what's up with John Woo and Paycheck and Hostage and things like that, just go back and watch Hardboiled and The Killer. That's
you, because I had a sheltered childhood. You actually introduced me to these movies.
Really,
Hardboiled and The Killer.
Well, I still haven't seen. Better Tomorrow?
The Better Tomorrow, yeah.
I haven't seen those yet. I saw a clip.
I saw the first one.
I saw a clip and it was just badass. Like he fucking just goes into like these guys gambling and just destroys the entire room and then but he had a gun hidden in the plant outside, so he goes outside, waits for the next guy.
Yeah, it's funny. My parents were really like chill about like always about like whatever. You know,
yeah,
like
I think every movie on my list I saw in theaters.
Yeah. It, except anything like really explicitly sexual, not like there's this like a sex scene, like an 80s sex scene. No, that was okay. But anything like weirdly explicit, they would kind of be like, "Whoa, what's that? What are you watching?" But anything other than that, like violence, is like fucking go nuts, man. You want to rent a movie called what? The Killer. All right, we'll rent it for you. So yeah, I remember The Killer and Hardboiled were ones where I had to have my dad kind of.
Those are also Criterion, right?
Yeah. I know The Killer is, and Hardboiled, I think it was, too.
Out of print.
Yeah. So maybe a little Blu-ray action.
Oh, Criterion put those in. Yeah, because they're fucking awesome.
Yeah. All right. Throw out really quickly, because we're running long. Any honorable mentions?
Another John Woo, Hard Target.
Yes.
Of course.
His first American film.
He punches a fucking rattlesnake.
Wait.
And bites its rattler off.
There's John Woo. This is the trifecta. There's John Woo,
Mullet Van Damme,
and Wilford Brimley.
Cajun Wilford Brimley.
Yes.
With a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
See, as much as fun as that sounds, I still put Broken Arrow over this one just because you've got fucking John Travolta being creepy, crazy badass. I like creepy John Travolta.
He's always good looking.
Great.
Yeah. Come on. And you've got Howie Long.
Yeah.
He takes the grenade, drops it in his pants, and then
kicks him.
But which is weird because his pants are really tight. And then there's the part where he shoots the guy like 5 times in the chest and still roundhouses him to the face.
But wait.
Good measure.
Just to make sure.
I apologize. It's not a trifecta. It's more because it's Lance Henriksen.
Lance Henriksen.
He's a villain. I forgot about that. With a crazy gun.
Isn't the dude Arnold Vosloo, isn't he one of the bad
guys?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. He's one of the hunters. This is the Hard Target was basically the most dangerous game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hold on. That. Okay, so that's like a five factor because you just reminded me of a whole other like subgenre of I gotta make sure this is the right year before I put it on my honorable mention.
Well, here I'll rattle off some names: Total Recall, Point Break. You mentioned T2, which is
also, sci-fi. Yeah,
Clear and Present Danger.
I was gonna go double Harrison Ford there. You had The Fugitive and Clear and Present Danger.
Yeah, Mission Impossible 1, Heat, and The Matrix, but that's sci-fi. So.
I was going to throw out a Super Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little Jackie Chan action there. And Leon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Professional.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff. And then they're not great movies, but I think John Badham the director, had a really good run in the 90s with Bird on a Wire, The Hard Way, Drop Zone, the La Femme Nikita remake is actually good, and Nick of Time.
The Hard Way with
Michael J. Fox?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We just watched that. We had a thing, Kevin and I, where we'd get inebriated and watch Michael J. Fox movies.
Yes. But you know, Drop Zone, I like those.
You just fucking love Drop Zone.
I like Drop Zone.
I don't understand why you love that movie so much.
Again, it's like it was the Point Break knockoffs. Yeah. You know, you had like the Terminal Velocity and Drop Zone. But Drop Zone's actually good. It's really good. Yeah.
Hey, I like the opening.
The opening of Drop Zone was ripped off. Dark Knight Rises is the same opening, essentially. Yeah. Go watch them again. Drop Zone, same opening, Dark Knight Rises.
Your honorable mentions?
About it.
Yeah, I don't want to think about Drop Zone anymore. but I will think about 1994 Surviving the Game.
Yes. With Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Ice-T.
And Ice-T and Charles S. Dutton.
Yeah.
And Rutger Hauer being
I feel like I'm going to name my like if I have a son, I'm going to name Arnold Palmer to compete with Ice-T, you know? Being a rapper, but like...
Okay, so again, Broken Arrow. Basically everything everyone else listed, and then... Another 48 Hours I really like.
Yeah.
I really liked... I was really excited about Passenger 57 when it came out.
Yeah. Hold on.
I was surprised that this movie did not show up on anybody's list, and I feel bad for not having it on my list. Executive Decision.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Come on. We just listed an hour's worth of awesome. We can't get to everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd let that one off because someone's going to have that
That goes on an ensemble cast.
That should be the surprising character.
But wait, did you like throughout your childhood just go always bet on black? That's what I did.
No, I went to Vegas one time and I put it on black and I won. I was like, always bet on black.
Did
you like double do that because you're black as well? Did you like
that's the joke?
I know, but did you super do it? Because like I was doing it, but I was like dumb white nerd, you know?
Yeah. See, I don't have to. It's not that I just do it and it works.
Yeah.
I'm not being ironic.
Throw some more names. Was that it? For your list?
That was it. We could be.
We've exhausted a lot of this.
The only thing that I had that wasn't talked about was Air Force One.
Yes, get off my plane, dude.
Or other sci-fi things, I'd throw out Demolition Man.
Yes.
Cool. All right. So you could follow us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You could follow all our goings on our website, thefilmpodcast.com. You could comment on any of that, Facebook, Twitter, you know. So, Kevin, I guess I'll go first. You could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at KZuberbier, that's ZUBERBIER.
I'm at An Adam Scott, AN underscore Adam Scott.
I'm at Brian Parrell, BRYANPARRILL. Also, shootingthescript.com, which you can follow at shootingscript.
And pretty soon we're going to be hopefully, maybe in May, we're going to be starting a series with Brian Sauer, Rupert Pupkin Speaks on Twitter, and Eric Peterson, hopefully. We're going to be starting a series where we will be discussing like three or four films from the Canon Film Group production company. And we'll do an episode that consists of four films, and then we'll go throughout all their entire list of films. Yeah, we're gonna get crazy with the 80s, guys. All right, until next time, have a good week.